state. I don't even know.
Blog Talk Radio.
Young folks. And all the days blend together when you live on the road. So, but you can grab this back there, and it's very good, good to follow around along. And she's got some great prayers and some little personal things in there as well. For the first time ever, we have what we are calling an attendance or an attendee bundle. Never done this before, so because you're here in attendance, you can go back to the product table, and this is everything that we have released in the last couple of months, all bundled together and specially priced as well, just for you right here in Amarillo, Texas. So please avail yourself to that as well. Dr. Barclay's grandkids, they're all full into the ministry. They're all full into also their own businesses, and they all have Christian businesses. Mrs. Barclay used to make jewelry. We're trying to get her back into that, but she's semi-retired at the moment. But her granddaughter, London, has picked up the mantle and is creating handmade jewelry back there. And they're all prayed over, and she, some of them have meaning behind them. Some of them don't. Some of them are just good old-fashioned beads. Don't know who would want to wear one, but if you love beads and you want to wear one, you should go back there and wear one or buy one for your wife or your daughter, because I am always suckered into buying beads for my daughter. Dr. Barclay's grandson, one of them has a apparel company called Detached, and this one has, this is the Holy Spirit line. So he's got a whole line coming out all about the Holy Spirit. So you can go back there and check that out. We do have some new shirts from Mark Barclay that released just before this conference. So you guys are actually the first church to even see these. And this one right here, I love it. It just says, deal with yourself. Then it's got 2 Corinthians 13:5. All of you will be looking that scripture up later, going, what in the world? But I absolutely love it, because this is something totally that Mark Barclay would tell you, as if you ran into him in the hall. He'd go, hey, Doc, how are you? And he'd say, great, now go deal with yourself. And you're like, what in the world? So go back there. We got a bunch of new t-shirts back there. Listen, this is a fully interactive conference. So even you online and those here in the house, this conference only goes how you want it to go. Now, I'm a youth and young adult guy, and many of you know or have heard of Invasion. And so, you know, I'm that motivating guy. I'm the guy that's like, you know, I have to have the shouts and the excitement and the, you know, the music behind it. But I even tell any meeting I'm in or anytime I'm with youth and young adults, I tell them all the time that the meeting goes however you want it. Now, the prophet is in the house. God is here. The Holy Spirit's here. When you have Jesus Christ Almighty and the Holy Spirit and a man of God willing to be used by God Almighty and the Holy Spirit, and a church that has given up everything and pressed towards the mark and said, hey, we want the Holy Spirit to do something. Now, that means everything is set. The water has been put in the pool. You're on the edge of the pool. It's a hot day out, and the pool is the perfect temperature. All you have to do, I mean, some of you might have to push somebody in next to you, but that's all right, because all you have to do is get yourself in the water. So raise your hands right now all over this place, because it's time to jump in. It's time to jump in. It's time to elevate ourselves to that next step. It's time to let God know that we mean it. It's time that everything that we have done in the last couple of weeks all comes down to this moment in time. Every minute of prayer, every minute of worship, every moment that we have pushed to be here, everything that's tried to stop us from being in this house tonight, it all stops right now. because now we're on the edge. So God, I ask you right now, show up in this place.
Amen.
People are going to get touched all over the world
Amen.
Watching it, but God, don't let it bypass me.
Amen.
If you're going to use anyone tonight, God, you're going to bless anyone tonight, God, you're going to heal someone tonight, God, let it be me. Let it be me, God. No rock is going to cry out in my place. So God, show up in this place tonight. Show up online all over the world to those that are watching, God. And we connect right now. And we believe that this night will never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name.
For your glory, Lord.
Because you are You know, It covers me with destiny. And it's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ is rewriting history. It covers me with destiny. It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ is rewriting my history. It covers me with destiny. It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ is rewriting my history. Right here, right now. It covers me with destiny. Hallelujah. It's making all things right. The precious blood of Christ is saying I will rise. It's shouting down the line. It echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word, speaks a better word. It's calling out my name. It's breaking every chain. It's breaking all things right. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word.
Because he is. He holds the future. And life is worth living just because he lives. Because he lives. I can say to my friends,
believers built for you. And here we are in the Holy Spirit conference, submitted to you, Holy Spirit, to touch us, direct us, heal us, fix us, show us things to come. Show us things to come.
Yeah, show us things.
We give you glory and honor and praise.
Yeah.
I rebuke every spirit, every religious spirit,
every
foul spirit, every lying spirit. There'll be no hindrance to this meeting whatsoever. We thank you. The only spirit welcome in this house, shout it, is the Holy Spirit. Clap one more time. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Love on somebody on your way to your seat.
I got to get caught up here. Just a second, guys.
Hallelujah. Spread a little love. They need it. You need to spread it, and they need to receive it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Great job, guys. Great job. They're all good. That last song is powerful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. What a great start. Amen. Praise God. You know what? We'd worship God even if we ourselves didn't feel the Spirit of God. We'd worship Him anyways. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was in the house tonight, was it not? Hallelujah. It was amazing. I mean, I thought I was going to, I didn't know. I thought we'd all just start flying around here. So, you know, just enjoying the Spirit of God and enjoying the anointing. I'm so excited to be here. We look so forward to this one. We absolutely love the people, the parishioners that belong to this church. We absolutely love your pastor and his wife. They're very special to us. They're actually kids to us, and we love them, and we love the church family. And, you know, it's so much fun to have grow up. I was telling Pastor File, I said, you know, this is so awesome. It's been several years. Our kids are connecting with their kids, and, oh, my gosh, they love Josh, and they love Malachi, and they love Jude, and we're all over to their house. That's fun. Do you know how great that is for us that we have that relationship and that binding together? It's just like all of you that are in a local church, and you begin to grow up with people that are in the local church. Well, we love it. There's so many ministers here that I know, and we're very close with them, and we don't have time. Doc can mention whoever he wants, but we love every last one of you. I'm so glad you're here. We're so excited to be here. I want to share a scripture with you. I've been out a little bit. You know, I haven't been out since, I don't even like to use the word, so let's just say I haven't been out in a couple years. I just stayed home and didn't minister, but I've been out, and I've been having a great time, and I wanted to share a scripture with you that I've been using as I've been out. And I've been talking about that God has made a path for you. And no matter what we go through and no matter what circumstances comes against us, God always makes a path for you to get through. Amen. Always. And I want to share the scripture with you really quick. In Psalm 65:11, you don't need to turn to it, but it says, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. That's what we're doing right now, with a bountiful harvest. Amen. And even the hard pathway overflows with abundance. That's what Psalm says. It overflows with abundance. And I'm going to share one more, because in Proverbs 3:6 it says, seek his will in all you do. How many know that we got to know what God wants us to do in our lives? Amen. We know that we have to follow what he wants us to do. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amen. You got to take the right path to do what God's called you to do. And I don't know about you, but I want to choose that path. And I feel like your pastors and this church, they're on the right path to do what God's called them to do in these last days. How many know we're in the last days? There's no doubt about it. Amen. And so you need to go to church, read your Bible, pray, and stay hooked up to this man and woman of God and do what God's called you to do. Amen.
Clap for Vicki. Come on. Praise God. Thank God for the Word of God. Woo! And she's mine, all mine. Lift your hands to heaven. Say this after me, Holy Spirit. I've come here to hear from you, to be directed, to have revelation, to know and see what's coming next, to be healed in my body, to be delivered from things, to be fixed, enlarged, enhanced, anointed. Touch me, I pray, this week. Touch me tonight that I'll never be the same. Say it in Jesus' name. I think we ought to pray in the Spirit one more time. This is a Spirit-filled meeting. Now, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you don't have your prayer language, the New Testament Bible says it's for every believer everywhere, no matter your denomination or whatever, or if you're just new to the kingdom, say, Lord, fill me now with the Holy Spirit and give me my prayer language. And then just pray in our heavenly language. Just take a minute and do that. God is in the house. The Lord is in the house. We're praying. We're praying in the Holy Ghost. Because he lives. Touch every one of us tonight and touch even those of us who are working, touch us with the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. Reach out, touch the hem of his garment. He's in the house with us tonight. He's healing bodies right now, walking up and down the aisles in the chairs. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is
touch us. Go ahead. Let him touch you. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Be healed. The Lord said, I'm healing organs right now. I'm healing organs in your body right now. I'm healing organs. I'm taking inflammation away from your organs. Kidneys be healed. Kidneys function properly. Liver be healed. No more swollen liver. Be healed. Heart be healed. Pancreas, prostate be healed. Your glands to be healed because the Lord is in the house and he's touching us right now. Shakato lama shike lamato la bisela mandene. We receive. What's that? Be healed in your joints. Move around a little bit. The Lord said, I'm here to heal the elements of joints, knees, ankles, toes, your back, your elbows, your wrist, your neck. Be healed. Let the Lord work in there. Let the Lord touch you now. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. By the presence of Jesus Christ. By the presence of Jesus Christ. Be seated, please. Sit back in your seat and relax a minute. And when you're ready, lift your hands to the King of Glory again. This is a sign of, I want you, I hug you, I love you, I'm embracing you. I surrender. The Bible says to lift your hands in the sanctuary and praise our God. Thank you, Master. Thank you for being here tonight. You will be in every service. This is your conference. We are but vessels. Ola, pota, keto, le poshina. In the name of Jesus. Can you do something with me and not get goofy? God doesn't make goofy people. He makes spiritual people. Don't be goofy now, but reach out and put a hand either alongside of you, in front of you. Put a hand on somebody's shoulder, somebody's upper back. And let's let this anointing flow one to the other. Where that's how you don't need to always, you don't always need the prophet to put a hand on you. We can lay hands on each other for healing. Maybe we didn't call out what you need healing for. Be healed by the laying on of hands of the believers. Mark 16 says, they shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. May recovery begin right now. May recovery begin right now by the work of Jesus Christ. Saplino, la mando li ablista che la vostra. Oh, Master, 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 Master. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Master. Can you feel his presence in the house? I can. And I'm grateful to walk in his anointing. No offense now. The average preacher maybe only steps into 35 to 40% of his full potential, his full anointing. But we live in a day where we need to penetrate that barrier and get in about 85 to 90%, maybe even one day or another, a hundredfold anointing. Most people, God bless them, they don't get hardly 50% out of their pastors because of the sin of familiarity. They just think he's a pastor. What's the big deal? They come to church. They lose track, maybe. Maybe. That they're in the presence of God. And we just come to your church. But then you lose out. See, I have learned something in my almost 50 years of preaching around the globe, walking with God, spending time with God in the prayer closet. You learn some things. I've learned how to extract the anointing out of a room like this and take it home with me. Have you? I have. I know how to get into my prayer closet, and when his presence arrives, I've learned how to extract it and let it penetrate my life, my body, my soul, my spirit. I think some of you have too. It's not just for me. To learn when you're in a meeting, even your local church. I was talking to some of the pastors, preachers today. You know who has the most miracles of all the fivefold ministry? a pastor. An evangelist, a healing evangelist, if he don't get it right here, right now, he doesn't have any. A teacher, no offense, we got to have teachers. Most of them never do anything but teach. Not that that's wrong, but it doesn't create miracles. But a pastor, he has miracles every day of the week. When you take home with you what you've been taught and you work it, marriages are healed, children are healed, families are healed, bodies are healed, money's healed. How do you know that, Doc? I've been a pastor for many years, and constantly people are coming back with these most awesome, miraculous testimonies. Pastor, guess what happened to me this week? I went home and did what you said, and look what happened to my business. Miracle after miracle after miracle, because God confirms his word with signs following. I love signs. I love miracles. But you're not going to see them unless you're a word person. Thank you for your enthusiasm about that. Thank you. And thank you. I might call upon you later. Is that good? Didn't they do a great job? Thank God for them. Amen. I have a verse. I don't know where all will go yet tonight, but I do have a verse for you. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12.
Love the word.
1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Hey, thank God for my Bible. You're going to need it now more than you ever needed it before. Oh, shakatola ma shakata. Many years ago now, back in the late 70s, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin talked to a handful of us in one of the prayer rooms before he started to go out to preach. And he said, the day will come when the body of Christ, they'll need to be taught all over again how to receive from the Holy Spirit. They'll need to be taught about the things of the Spirit. Why is that, Dr. Hagin? Because life will become so cluttered, so frustrating, so dangerous, that they'll burn up most of their faith trying to live in a dirty world. And you'll have to teach all over again. It was Dr. Hagin who originally inspired me and Vicki to do Holy Spirit conferences, to just make a room like this and say, come, Holy Spirit, do what you want. A pastor would love to say that every service, but a pastor has a duty to make disciples. I don't have that duty tonight. I can step in and out of the office of the prophet. We can teach, preach, heal, prophesy, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, because it isn't my duty to make sure you become a disciple and that you're well taught on certain matters and dealt with in practice. Say this with me. God does not want me ignorant of spiritual things. It's simple. I'll just read it in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, so now we know he's talking to the church, I would not have you ignorant. Huh? That's right. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now, if you notice, the word gifts in most versions is in italic, it's italicized. That means the translators felt permission to add that particular English word to the translation so that we knew it would flow better in English. But it also means it probably wasn't actually in the original text. This is important. That's why I'm going here. Now, concerning spiritual, brethren, now that covers a whole, see, we're not just saying gifts now. We're saying the spirit realm, living a spiritual life, born of the spirit, filled with the spirit, led by the spirit. And God says, I don't want you ignorant about this. Now, I think you know this. There's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance means you don't know. You don't have the knowledge. Stupidity means you knew and you did something stupid anyhow. You didn't use it. You used it wrong or something. And I'm watching more and more and more how there's a lot of spiritual things that are of the dark world. They're not of God. It's amazing to me how easy people get off into spiritual things that aren't holy. They're really, we probably should say more, they're supernatural than spiritual. It's really hard in the true definition of the word spiritual. It's really hard to define someone as being spiritual without the Holy Spirit who makes you spiritual. But even the witches are supernatural. Oh yeah, I've been in the tents of the voodoo doctors, the medicine man. We've cast demons out of the potent, potion maker. We've been all over the world. I don't know how many demons I've cast out of people who are of the dark realm. You're not.
Amen.
If you're born of the Spirit of God, lift your hand. Now, if you couldn't lift your hand right now, don't you leave this building without coming to this altar later and finding one of these leaders. These whole front rows are filled with preachers and leaders. And you say, I refuse to leave here until I am born of the Spirit of God that I'm saved. We're not of darkness. We're not afraid of darkness. In one area, Vicki and I were establishing ministry, and the witches coven in that area said, you can't do that here. We don't permit it. We're in charge of this region. They did everything. They killed chickens and hung them on our church door. They splattered blood everywhere, chicken blood. And I guess they don't know that Jesus' blood is just a little bit more potency than a rooster. And they packed things on the door. You got to leave here. We won't allow you to be here. So I formed a team, like four deacons on a night mission. And I said, go find where they are. Let's set the record straight. We're not of the powers of darkness. We're afraid. Are you kidding me? I'm afraid of a dead chicken. Or some people that are just led by demons. Hey, greater.
Is he?
I said greater.
Yeah.
Greater.
Is
he that's in me.
Amen.
And he that's in the world. And the Lord said, I don't want you to be ignorant. What you do. In other words, he starts out in this whole writing. He says, I want you to know about the spiritual things, the realm of the spirit. Some people think the realm of the spirit is like, it's right here, right now. You have no idea, this very moment, how many communication waves are bumping into you of all kinds of things, radio, AM, FM, maybe shortwave, maybe satellite, maybe cellular, and the list goes on. It's hitting you all the time. You don't know it because God gave you no receptor in order to no receiver. You're not a receptor. You have no receiver. So unless you buy an instrument man-made but I would tell you right now, don't do it. But if you laid up your cell phone right now, it isn't going to call for the signal. It presents itself. And that's why immediately when you turn it on, you see the little symbol that you have signal. It's been here all along. Nobody questions it. They didn't even think about it. If we can do all that, and it's here whether you know it or not, and it's bouncing off from you whether you know it or not, just because you don't have a built-in receiver, why is it so difficult for people to know the spirit realm is right here? You have no idea how many angels are in this building right now. Ooh, you're getting spooky, Doc. No, you're carnal. I'm talking spiritual, and your brain's saying, that can't be true. What do you think is more God? Me talking about angels or your fat head saying, that can't be true? Yeah.
Amen.
One of my favorite stories in the whole Bible is about the spirit realm. And it reveals something that you and I should be thinking about all the time. And that's the great prophet and his helper. The Old Testament called them servants, but really they're like armor bearers for David, because he was a warrior. Jonathan had an armor bearer. He was a warrior. And the prophets, they had servants or assistants, or we call them here ministry of helps. And the prophet obeys God, and then they find themselves on a hill or the side of the hill. He sends his helper down to fetch supplies. It's in your Bible. And he sees the natural army. And he runs up the hill. Oh, man of God. Oh, they come for you. Who has a whole army? That's a sermon all by yourself. They are so afraid of us, they're going to send a whole army.
Amen.
To come get us. Why? Because they're demon-driven. They're not God-driven. Not in this story. And the prophet says, son, Barclay version, settle down. There's more with us than what's with them. Now, all it takes is a natural thinking person to look at the prophet, look around and say, is he crazy? Has he lost his marbles? Is he got Alzheimer's? Can he not think straight? He's looking, there's only two of us, man. There's you and there's me. What's the we stuff? Because all he could see, I want you to hear me on this, all he could see is the natural army, because all he could look through was natural windows. Thank God for this biblical portrait, this great history record. The prophet of God said, what I'm going to pray over you tonight for a moment. The prophet of God tells this man, speaking to God, Lord, would you open his eyes? Huh? He's not blind. He just ran up the hill saying, I see the whole army down there. Oh. He's not naturally blind like many, many, many good Christians today. They're not naturally blind. They see well. But the windows of the spirit man seem to be closed shut with blinders. There's more with us, son, than there is with them. What is he talking about? I hope you don't come and go to church like that. What on earth is he talking about? I don't know if I agree with that. Well, before you get all heated up, maybe you ought to ask God to open your eye further than what your little feelings and your little interpretations are. So there. And he said, Lord, opens his eyes that he might see what I see. And you know what? God answered that prayer. And his eyes were open. And he saw not an angel or two visiting because they're bored. He saw an army of warrior chariots and warrior machines camped all round about them. Did you know they did not come when God said, open his eyes? They were already there. That's why the prophet said, there's more with us than there is with them. They're already there.
Already.
They're already there.
Already there. Glory.
I believe this because I've witnessed it. If those of you believers, you're like on staff, you know, for the churches or ministries, or you know, maybe you're a volunteer, like you don't get on the payroll, but you're that close to the workforce, maybe like an assistant or a head of a department. I believe this. If your pastor, first of all, would say, Lord, would you open their eyes so they see what I see? Because if they don't, it's just a job to them. It's just what, you know, it's just a job. It's just something they do when they come to church. If they ever got their eyes open, they'll be right in sync with the man or woman of God or both that they're assigned to. Why? Same God. Same room, same ministry, same angelic forces. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Amen.
One of the greatest, I believe, battles and fights for the everyday Christian is to shake off this world, because all it does is make you dull. Makes me dull. Everything on this planet, even some of the good things, it's all meant. Talk about marriage, talk about kids, talk about jobs, talk about money. It's all meant to bring you out of the spirit realm and rub the world in your face. You got to do this. You're responsible for that. You got to figure this out. Oh my God, what am I going to do? But you don't really mean, oh my God. It's like a cuss word. Oh my God. Well, you're really talking to him, because we should be saying, open my eyes that I can see this. We're all going to be members here for a minute. Lord, would you show me what you've showed File? I got to work with him. He's leading me. He's telling me. Because if I can't see it, then he's being mean to me. He's requiring things of me I can't do. Well, first of all, get your hanky out. Blow your nose, you little baby. It's amazing how you can get chewed out and cussed out in the world, but if you get one little correction in the church, we're a cult. It's a demon. That's a demonic force. Lord, open their eyes. You can ask the Lord, open my eyes that I can see in the spirit realm of what my man or woman of God sees. The angels were already there. Isn't it something? The prophet, believe it or not, is a human. In fact, the Old Testament prophet wasn't even born again. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. And yet he could see. He could see the future. Yeah, it's a prophetic anointing. Don't misunderstand. But it must go beyond just the one guy, because God answered the prayer and the young man's eyes of his spirit. He was no longer blinded.
No longer.
He could see in the spirit realm. Wow. It seems to me, I might as well throw this in here. It seems to me that there's a lot of people claiming to have a prophetic utterance, prophetic revelation. They seem to be prophets or prophetesses. But it also seems to me like most of what they prophesy never comes to pass. Ooh. The Bible, thank you, Richard. The Bible says, this is a great verse, and we're living it right now today. The Bible says, the prophets prophesy falsely, I'm quoting. The priests, we would say probably pastors in most cases, the priests bear rule by their own means. In other words, it's not biblical. And my people love it so. Some of the fastest growing churches in our country are the ones handing out beer bottles. And the pastor will come on the job, drink a beer with you. That's the example you want for your kids? That the holy man smokes a little marijuana? The holy man drinks a little booze? I know all of you right now that, you know, you're, you know. You've been trained to give some excuse for your liberty. But it's not liberty. You're flirting with everything God wants to deliver you from. If you are. Turn to someone and say, man, is he after you tonight?
Amen. Is he after you tonight?
Oh, my. Sakatola mashakata. Acts chapter 2. You want to look at just another verse? Hey, I got all that out of one verse. If we go to 4 or 5 verses, I hope you've packed your lunch. Brought your shaver with you. Might need it. Here in Acts 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I know you, all you Pentecostals, all you charismatics, all you spirit-filled people, surely you know these verses. But whether you know them or not, I'm going to read them for a minute. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, Pentecost is a holiday, and it'd be like, you know, Christmas is coming soon. Can you believe that? Christmas is coming soon, and a lot of people prepare early. Some of you, you'll start putting stuff out in November, and even before Thanksgiving. Forget turkeys and pumpkins, man. You're going for Christmas trees. And a lot of prep goes into Christmas. But the day of Christmas has not yet come. This holiday was happening, but the day of Pentecost had not quite come until this day. And on that day of Pentecost, it says they were in one accord.
One accord.
This could be recorded as a modern day miracle. Oh, no, you don't think so? You know how much sass we preachers put up with? Sass. You know how many people that we pastor, they'll swear to God they know more than us because they read the same book. You get quiet and we'll preach it anyhow. I already got you in here and the doors are locked. The doors are not really locked. Fire chiefs. Huh? They were in one accord? They were in a... You're kidding me. More than two people were in agreement? Wow. I'm claiming that for every part of our ministry.
Amen.
May everyone that comes get in one accord with each other. Quit fighting, scrapping, gossiping, tail-bearing, and splitting and dividing, and quit acting so ignorant like you know everything because you heard a tape series. Did I really say tape? That's like 50 years old.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get a tape anymore. I'm not sure. I know you can get... the other day I said CD, and my son said, Dad, most people can't play one anymore.
Yeah.
Said, I'm keeping my CD player, Jerry.
Yeah.
I don't care if they all go to, you know... on their fingernails with some device, I'm keeping my CD player. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Verse 2. I love this verse. You know it, I'm sure. And suddenly, right after dinner, when we were ready, suddenly there came a sound. There has never been a quiet revival in human history. If the devil can make you quiet, now I know there's times of meditation, and I get that, but if the devil can get you down and make you quiet, he will steal your joy. If he can steal your noise, you better get ready to do some deep ditch meditation. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Not part of the house, all of it. And there appeared. So now we're gathered, and now we heard, and now it's appearing. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. I'm laughing because I can just imagine a 2022 church, and all of a sudden, while pastor preaches, little tongues of fire start dancing on everybody's shoulder, and it goes through the whole house. Can you imagine people looking and what they're saying? Look at that. What's with that guy? Oh, my God, it's getting on me. It's on me. Little tongues of fire. If you don't want your little tongue of fire, ask God to give it to me. I have big shoulders. I can handle more than one cloven tongue of fire. And it said on each of them, verse 4, and they were all filled. Filled means no room for more. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, not some other ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. 6, now when this was noised abroad, look at this, the multitude came together. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. The devil wants you to be really, really quiet about your baptism in the Spirit, because pagans and hell-bound heathens and backslidden Christians will tease you about it.
Come on, Pastor.
Oh, I've had a lot of people say, aren't you that tongue-talking preacher? They expect me to weep and go hide under a bush. Oh, my God, yes, you found out. That's far from me, in case you don't get it. When they ask me that, aren't you one of those tongue talkers? I don't give them a chance to finish the question. Yeah, let's hear some. And they run for their life. They want me to be ashamed. When I first moved down to California, to Michigan, where we started the home church there, now we call it the headquarters church. It was during James Jones period where those people were so duped, they followed him to a foreign land.
Wow.
And then were forced, I guess, to drink the Kool-Aid. If you don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, don't go to the foreign land.
Amen.
I don't mean missions. So it was that time. So anybody that did anything, well, he's just a James Jones. Yeah. And so when we moved from one city to the other, from one state, California, to Michigan, you already know that's not James Jones. Who on earth would move there on purpose? Out of California, San Diego to Midland, Michigan, duh. Shut up, Florida boy. Just be quiet about it, okay? You too, just shut your mouth about it. Get that smirk off your face. Yeah, we were this great cult leader. And so the TV news wanted to interview me. So I'd never been on TV before, never been interviewed before back in those days. We're in millions of households this past week, like, I can't remember, 84 million households or something with television. But back then, I never even been on somebody else's show. I didn't know what to say. So I called one of my dads, Dr. Lester Sumrall. I said, Dr. Sumrall, the local news has invited me to come on. They want to interview me. What should I do? He said, write down on a piece of paper how to spell your name and give it to them, because that's the only thing they're going to get right. Well, that kind of shocked me. I was actually feeling a little flattered that they wanted to interview me. So I went there. I'm thinking, you know, they sent me this little list of what they were going to ask me in this interview. And So I'm thinking, well, I know how to answer those, and I, you know. So we get on the little stage, you know. First, they got you all prepped, got a microphone on, pretty geared up or so. We get in my little chair. The host comes in. She gets in her little chair, and the producers and directors come out, do their thing. They set us all up, and the countdown comes, you know, 10, 9, 8, and then quiet, we're live on the set. And she starts her welcoming statement. Welcome to such and such broadcast and the news in our local area. And then she turns to me and she says, I have a guest with me today, a reverend, and said my name, said it right. And I thought, well, Dr. Summerall's right. They got it right. And then she said right to me, she turned to me and she said, I understand that you speak in tongues. You notice when they do that, their face looks like someone burnt toast. I understand that you speak in tongues, but see, I'm not ashamed. I've never been ashamed. I don't even care if there's one pagan or heathen that likes me. I could care less. I really don't care less if most of the body of Christ likes me. I'm free from people because I've submitted my whole life to God.
Amen.
And so I do care what God says about me, but well, I understand that you speak in tongues. Well, I never done this before, so I took off. Yes, that's right. Here we go. And I never knew so many people worked for a TV studio. I'm serious. They come behind curtains, out from under desks. We got this great big teleprompter. Go to commercial. Go to commercial. Go to commercial. And then all of a sudden, big words, now, now, now. So they went to commercial. And her eyes are big, and the boss comes running out. He goes, whoa, 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 Reverend. You're not going to do that again, are you? I said, I don't know. I don't know. When I get excited, I pray in tongues. When I get mad and irritated, I speak in tongues. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Please don't do that again. I said, hey, listen, bud, she brought it up and she works for you. I didn't come here to speak in tongues in front of you. I don't plan to flatter anybody going to hell as deep as you are. She brought it up. Well, we can't be doing that on TV. I said, I don't care. I didn't ask for this. You asked me to come here. I came. She asked a question. I answered it. See ya. I walked out. I got almost to the door, Richard, and I couldn't help it. I don't know if it was right or not. I got to the door, and I turned around. Ha, shikalabaha, suka, magoduska. And I left the building. Oh, man. I thought, well, there it goes. If I was a scaredy little Pentecostal, I can't hide it now. It's on local news. It's live. I thank God it was live. How are you going to edit it? Stop there. But you know what was cool? It took about 10 years. But about 10 years later, the same network, if I said it, it's really famous. You'd know the initials. The same network called and said, would you consider doing a daily 3 to 5 minute motivational moment on our television station for free? Wow. See, I didn't know then that 5 minutes on television is like $10,000. Exaggerating, but not by much. I said, well, you do know who you called, right? I mean, has there been a record loss? Fire, flood in the basement of the TV company? You do know you called me, and you do know I'm the guy that you threw off the stage for speaking in tongues. Yeah, my boss told me that story. And yes, I understand they kind of made you leave, but now we're wanting you to come, and we don't even care if you speak in tongues. So I did it. I can't, Josh is here somewhere. I probably did that for 3, 4, 5 years, every day. They paid for it. I just got on there and say, welcome to Monday, you drunks, with all your hangovers. I'm pretty happy. I'm feeling really good about Monday. I'm sorry you're all a bunch of pagans, and you're going to go get drunk and pretend like it's fun, spend all your money, ruin your marriage, ruin your family. Who knows whose bed you woke up in? Welcome to Motivational Moments. Hey, when you only get 3 to 5 minutes, there's no room for a sweetie little introduction. I was preaching in our ministry's really established strong and has been for many years in France. And so I was preaching in our church in Paris. And we got done, went on the elevator, and had Vicky with me, and I happened to have my two kids with me. And we go up the elevator, stop like two floors, and these two business people got on. I guess they're business people. I shouldn't have said business, I guess, because I don't really know. But they were there for a business conference, so it was just my deduction. They get on the elevator. The door closes. They punch their button. We're going up. And it didn't take them 15 seconds to start talking foul language in front of my kids. You might tolerate that. I don't. So I stepped away from Vicky, went over, you know, it's just an elevator, went over close to them. And I said, did your mother never take you to Sunday school, you foul mouth, talking this trash in front of my kids? Shame on you. In fact, why don't you just give your life to Christ and quit fooling around with these demons? Oh, man, they started punting bunches. You know how the kids will go, so they can stop at every store. They went, and they got off as quick as they could and ran. Oh, man, that was mean. No, it wasn't. It was right. Can you please start working on separating mean from right? All right, so we went on about our way. I explained to the kids. That evening, we go back down. We get on the elevator, it goes down one floor, and guess who comes on? Same two guys. They saw me and had this look, and they were going to turn around and said, no, you're riding. On the elevator. So they do, they're kind of sheepish. And the one guy turns to me and he says, sir, may I apologize to your wife and kids? My mama did take me to Sunday school.
Wow.
And I'm a terribly backslidden Christian. And I'd like to tell them how sorry I am that not only did I use foul language, but I used your Lord's name in vain. And I never thought a minute about it. That's how far gone I am.
Mm.
Yeah, go ahead. They're right there. How about you, Buckaroo? Well, I'm just going to ride on his words. Still choosing hellbound, right? You're going to hell, right? So, yeah. So leaving France. At Charles de Gaulle, we're getting on a commercial airplane, and there's this long line, man, I mean. And so we're waiting, and we're tired, and we're tired of waiting. It's like every 30 minutes, 20 minutes. I mean, it feels like 5 miles to the desk. So I finally had it. I thought, you know, this is getting to me. We shouldn't let stuff like that get to us, guys. It was getting to me. So I started praying in the Holy Ghost. I always start out soft. So I'm saying, and then I can't help it, I guess. All of a sudden it came out. Shangondalia basika. Well, when you're loud, people think, and you don't speak their language, I guess they think you're deaf. Because a couple turned around and said, do you want to go ahead of us? Oh, shika la bahatola basika. Shangondalia basika. Would you like to go ahead of us? Oh, si, commando, libisha, kadalamahatra, kada. Seriously, I got all the way to the counter with my family. The young lady working there says, sir, do you speak English? Oh, yeah, very well. We're from America. You could feel the hatred accumulating behind me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of anything that Jesus Christ has given me. I'm not ashamed of any of it. I don't care. Amen. Amen. So you travel a lot. I'm on this airplane. We're going somewhere far, far away. And I was blessed to get in first class this time. And so here's this guy, here's me. I got a Bible. He's got a newspaper. He uses two or three cuss words to talk to we call them stewardess, the flight attendants. And I got mine. You want a coffee? You want to, yeah, I'll take a water or something. So I did. He gets his little alcohol drink. And then we get going, we're flying. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not ashamed. I just opened my Bible. I don't just open my Bible at church. One of the best testimonies you have is to break open that book in front of other people, especially hellbound pagans. So I opened it up, and he had the paper, and I could tell he kept looking over. And then if I even nudged, hear that newspaper wrinkle, then I'd catch him kind of peeking over. I said, excuse me. How's the bad news going? He said, what? The bad news. You're reading the bad news. Is there any good news in there? He goes, are you kidding me? I got the good news. You got the bad news. He goes, yeah. Is that a Bible? I said, yes, a Bible. You read it? Well, yeah. Yeah. Do you understand it? Yeah, I hope even people like you understand it. Ask me a question. Oh, my. So he asked me this question. It's always something weird like, what happened to the fish during Noah's flood? Yeah. Right? It's always some ignorant, half-baked question that if you knew the answer, it wouldn't change their destiny at all, no matter the color of the fish. It would have nothing to do with it. That's the devil. The devil was tantalizing me. So I said, let me just cut to the, it's a long flight, man. Let's just cut to the chase. This is how it works. I have the good news, you have the bad news. I purposely read the good news, you pay money for the bad news. I got the Bible, you got the bad paper. Let me help you. I'm filled with God and you're not. I'm going to hell and I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. Thank you for fixing that, Lord. I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. There's no doubt about it. How do you know that? I know these things. He goes, are you a preacher? Yes, I'm an expert at who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And I'm telling you, buddy, I can tell. You're going to go to hell. You're going to take your wife with you. You got two kids, right? I didn't know that. Thank God we were right. You got two kids, right? We weren't guessing. You got two kids, right? Yes. You're going to lead them to hell. Did you know that the what you're reading in the bad news is everything the devil does to people? I'm reading how to escape that. If you'd like to escape, I can make a way for you to go to heaven. Right now. He goes, right now on this airplane? Right now. How do we do that? We pray what we call the sinner's prayer. Wait a minute. That's my alarm. Oh, if you come back tomorrow, I'll tell you about that nut that was on that airplane. Or I could take a minute and finish it now. What do you finish it right now? Kenneth Copeland's my close friend of many years, since the 70s. And the other day we were somewhere, it was not like yesterday, but a while back. And he preached for like, I don't know. He preached me into church polio. It was like 2.5-3 hours. I mean, even a church fit guy is saying, seventh inning stretch, please, brother. Get some blood going. My toes are turning purple. Now, what he preaches is extraordinary. One, in my opinion, one of the best voices in the land. And his alarm went off. And, oh, man, I almost, undid my tie and my shirt and thought, oh my God, it's over. And it's nothing he says. He's immaculate. I agree with what he says. That's not the point. And I'm not mocking him. It was this. The alarm went off. And I'm sitting next to, I can't remember, I think maybe Mac Hammond and Happy Caldwell or something, if you know those names. And I said, his alarm went off. I think it was Happy that said two words. Means nothing. So I learned that from Brother Copeland. This means nothing. Actually, my granddaughter, Jaden, taught me, you know, Grandpa, you don't have to stop when the alarm goes off. I don't. No, you hit the snooze button. I said, the snooze button? Yeah. And on an iPhone, gives you 9 more minutes. I just used 2 of the 9, so 7 for you. Then, so I did it. Went off again. So I was going to quit preaching. And then she's in the row here. She goes, you can do it again. 9, 18, 27. Thank God I did okay with math. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh. To no longer be ignorant of spiritual things. To never be ashamed of anything that's of God in your life. Or what if we offend somebody? You're not responsible for their feelings. You're responsible for yours. Well, what if they reject me? Take it as a great compliment. If sinners can be in your presence and feel comfortable, you are backslidden. There is something wrong with you. Your oil is not a flame.
Come on.
Any sinner can be comfortable in your presence. Their very conviction. Listen, that you ought to be in a room. They can walk in the room and see you and say, why are you talking to me like that? And you haven't even said hello yet. This is called holy conviction. And without it, you'll probably, on your watch family members, neighbors, and friends, and working partners go to hell forever.
Ooh.
Without conviction that turns them from darkness to light. We won't tonight, but if we read the rest of that chapter, and then we go over to like Acts 26, and we read a couple, we might do it for the week's over. You'll find that Jesus Christ got a hold of a really spunky guy that was one goofed up dude called Saul of Tarsus and met him on a road that you know as the Damascus Road. And he had a whole crew with him.
A whole crew.
They were killing Christian preachers.
A whole crew.
And laying, like Stephen, laying his robe at the feet of Paul, who gave the order, who had a permission from the government to stop the Christian movement. And God said, pretty spunky. Think I'll use him. Showed up. The Bible says they all fell to the ground. Everybody got slain in the spirit. The whole crew. They're not Pentecostals. They don't fake falling.
Yeah.
In other words, they weren't taught. They all fell to the ground by the presence of God.
By the presence.
And God taught, as far as we know, God only talked to one of them, and that was Saul. And he tells him 12 things to do. I'm dealing with it if you want to for the week's time. Because there are all 12 of those points. It's our assignment too. But the first thing that Jesus Christ said to Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, when people pick on you for your Christianity, they're really picking on Jesus Christ. You should never take it personal. Besides that, the Bible says you are blessed when men revile you and persecute you and say all manners of things against you falsely for my sake. You should rejoice, the Bible says, for great is your reward in heaven. How long since you've been persecuted, lied about, called names by pagans and hell-bound sinners, and you took it to heart? How about this? I think I'll close with this. I love Franklin Graham. Do you know who that is? Franklin Graham, to me, is a great, great guy. Franklin Graham was being interviewed by a mutual friend, you know, Sean Hannity. And Sean asked him this question. And he says, Franklin, what do you think about this and that? And he's answering. And then he says this, you know, Sean, back in the Bible day, they took these Christians and these preachers and they beat them. They beat them and then they threw them in the dungeon. That's the septic tank of the prison. They were built where when it rained, they didn't have sewage. They put all the human waste out in the curb. So when it rained, it would run downhill and eventually go into the cheapest land as the prison and go into the prison, and that's what the dungeon was. And they would beat you to draw blood, and then they'd handcuff you down there, chain you. So either the rats would eat on you and you couldn't do anything about it, or worse yet, you slowly get infectious diseases. Now, Franklin didn't say all that. I did. Franklin said, isn't it amazing, Sean, that back in the day, they beat these Christians and preachers and they threw them in the dungeon and they were heard singing praises unto our God even at midnight. Well, you could say all night long during the night. And today he said one little dislike on social media, one little false little Facebook post, and they quit and they've lost their heart because they want to please hellbound pagans. I declare that's not you. That is, I know that's not me. And I don't think it's you either. But I declare over you right now this holy boldness to rescue people's souls before they go to hell forever on your watch. Shout and say, I receive it.
I receive it.
God began to speak. You read it, Acts 1, Acts 2. God began to speak to the church. And he said, I will pour out of my spirit. He didn't say pour out like there is no more. God's still pouring out of the spirit. I will pour out of my spirit. Right? And you'll be witnesses. I know the verses, but I got quit. And then it says this powerful statement. And I was reading this today, and we're going to do what it said in just a moment before we go. And God said the anointing, the presence, the Holy Ghost would fall upon your young men.
Amen.
And your handmaidens.
Amen.
Your
receive
young
it.
Men. And your handmaidens, and it uses the word they would prophesy. But the word prophesy there in the biblical language does not mean, thus saith the Lord, like the gift of prophecy. It means to preach with great boldness under the anointing of Jesus Christ. I declare over all young people that they would have so much boldness and anointing, they would quit becoming the disciple of the pagans' kids, dressing like them, smelling like them, patting like them, piercing like them, dressing like them. And instead, the pagan kids would be so overwhelmed with the presence of God on our kids that instead of our kids going to the world, they would automatically be drawn to the church.
Amen. Amen.
It's the promise of God.
It's the promise of God.
It's the promise of God that our young people will be filled with God and be bold witnesses in the earth in the climax of the ages. Now receive it. For all young people,
amen.
It's your day. Don't blow it. You don't have to throw out everything old, because if you do, you're in trouble. Young people, sometimes they think everything has to be new and different to be good and right. Then you find yourself uprooting all of the landmarks that your fathers have set through the years. In our age, we'll say the Kenneth Hagins, the John Osteens, the Oral Roberts, the Billy Grahams, the R.W. Shambachs, They're Fred Price's. They all set these landmarks. This is how you pray. This is how you get healed. This is how you believe a return on your giving. This is how you tithe. This is how you forgive your brother. These are the five ways that you can reap a harvest. The six ways to talk to God. The way to never, here's the gifts. These are all landmarks. And just because you're young and you got to come up with something new to be cool? No. This young preacher said, well, I love you, Doc. I always have, and I respect you. But you know, you're from the old school, right? I said, I want to answer that two ways. One, there's no new school. There's only one school of the Bible. You're either in it or you're tainting it and watering it down. It's not my fault your dad and grandpa had a backbone and you don't have any, you're no snowflake. That's not my problem. I want to answer that a second way. If you have problems with old, you're in trouble, because our God's very name is the Ancient of Days. Our young men and our handmaidens, our young ladies, will be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they will preach to their generation.
Hallelujah.
That's what God said would happen as he continues to pour out his spirit. I've been listening to a heretical lie for about 40 years. We're losing all the young people. If we don't make our church look like a beer garden and a lounge, we're going to lose them. This young preacher, he was smoking dope. He said he revelated better. I said, it's hallucination, you idiot. It has nothing to do with revelating. Yet if you're going to be a druggie, learn the terms. Because you're not only high, now your ignorance is showing. He goes, well, we changed everything. You go in this church, honestly, it's not my church, so I don't judge, but you can't help but observe. It looks exactly like some of the lounges and beer gardens that I used to go to as a sinner kid. It was all dark, it was smoky in there on purpose. And I mean, so I asked him about it. You know, he goes, well, if you don't do this, doctor, you can't attract young people. I said, oh. I felt like saying, I think I missed that class. But I said, you know, my daddy was a hunting fishing guide in Michigan, northern Michigan. And man, that guy could fish. And he taught me how to fish. And to this day, I'm 70, I'm still a pretty mean bass fisherman. And I said, you know, I'll tell you what we never did. We never went down to the costume shop and bought a bass costume.
Amen.
Motorboated out to Big Daddy Bass's bed, put on the costume, dove in, and said, follow me. Lunch is almost ready. And Big Daddy said, you're one good-looking bad bass man. And just followed me into the boat. He goes, Doc, that's silly. Yes, it's silly and dumb. It's what you're doing to act like, talk like, and dress like a sinner in order to attract a sinner. You can't preach the world to the world to win the world. Can I please have an amen? Yeah. Clap real good. Come on, clap real good. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Daryl Baker, you're a pretty straight shooter yourself. You know, for a cowboy. Nah, I love you. You're a good preacher. Put your hands to heaven. Come on. I want to preach more because you're so much fun. But we're going to change course right now. Praise him for a minute out of your own heart.
You are worthy, Jesus.
Recommit your life to him. Even we preachers, it don't hurt. Let's just recommit our lives to God right now. And just say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to be yours. I don't want to be anybody's but yours. I don't want any world. I don't want any crud. I want you. And I want to live that life in the name of Jesus. If you're a young person, not sure how we define that in every church. But if you're a young person, I don't know, maybe I'll pick a date like, I don't know, what do you think, 20, 21, 25, 18, 25? Chris says 25. Huh? 57? I didn't say act like a child. I said it. If you're, let's all stand a minute. Please don't be dismissed. But if you're, stretch out a minute, get some blood flowing. Please don't say, thank God he's done. You can think it, but please don't say it. Oh, yeah. Now, young people, listen to me. We're going to do two things, and I'm doing it this way on purpose. In a minute, I'm going to have everybody sit down again, and we're going to receive our evening offering for the conference. The reason I'm doing it this way, now, I could do it after we minister to you, but I want you to have these few minutes during the offering. Yeah, you should give in. Young people shouldn't just say, well, my mom and dad's got me covered. You get money for everything else. You should get money for the house of God.
Yes. Amen.
And then I want you to meditate just a little bit. I'm about to have hands laid on me to be that young person,
amen,
young man or young lady,
amen,
filled with the Holy Ghost,
amen,
going around preaching,
amen,
a powerful message. Or you might want to say witnessing. That's what we're going to lay hands on you for. We won't force you, but if you'd like us to do it, we're going to do that right after the offering. Please be seated. I want all the young people, I don't know, up to 24, did Trisha? Up to 25, put your hands to heaven. If you're in this house, you know, up to 25, put your hands to heaven. Father, begin to prepare them right now for the impartation of the Holy Spirit into their life to enhance them and enlarge them and to turn them loose on modern society with the power of the living God. To be able to say no, to break away. To say no, to break away from this world. And bring them, cause a vacuum that will bring their sinner friends and relatives into the kingdom of God. Into the kingdom where they can be saved and go to heaven forever. Say amen. Let me, ushers, get ready to help me, please. Did I help you in ultimate? You sure are fun to preach to. You were on camera tonight. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, you don't see all these cameras in here? We got your picture, baby. If you skip tomorrow night, we will find you. All of you critics in here, that's the only thing you'll post tonight. Check this out. Our conference budget to do this for a week is $78,654 and some cents. There's no fluff in that. I don't waste money. And I don't rent long limousines and I don't stay in penthouses. It's God's money. We use it. This is, you live in America. Any idea what gas is? Well, Michigan to here is not 20 miles. I like the gas pumps. I think I like it. In our town, when you go to pump it, it has a little sticker. And it has Mr. Biden's face with an arrow that says, I did this. You think he went around at night and put those stickers on there? They really are there, though. So we have a program. Most of you know it, I think. It's called Kill the Giant, where you believers, ministry partner friends, put money in advance into this account to help us pay for the conferences that we do each year. We do anywhere from 6 to 12 major conferences, citywide meetings a year. And so that's what we use it for. There was enough in that account to take $5,000 right off the top of this budget. We had ministry friends, who most of them couldn't be here or couldn't be here yet. One of my sons in the faith in Australia, he put money in. He said, that was yesterday. He said, I'm going to be the first person and to sow into the Holy Spirit conference. So all total so far, those kind of great friends and believers have given $6,700. So we're down, this is our first offering. We're down to $66,954. I want you to freak out right now and then not do it the rest of the week. That's a lot of money. I know that. This is why most ministries don't do what I'm doing here in Amarillo. There's so much, things are just so pricey. And if you can help with it, that's what we ask you to do. I think unless you're new to church, you might be, but unless you're new to church, we always receive faith love offerings into the conferences. So you church people, you knew, you Christians knew, well, he's not going to go all night long and do it for four days here, 5 days, you know, and morning and night, and not receive an offering to pay all the bills. It costs money. So we're believing God. We're going to round this up to $67,000. And I'm believing God it'll all get paid. Don't fall on the floor. I'm not asking you to pay all $67,000. But you know what I know by God? There is a handful of you in here that could do it if you so wanted to. I'm not asking you to do it. I don't tell people what to give. I just want you to know what our target is. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm not sure God would want one person to just pay it all. I think God likes to watch us all do our part, whatever your part can be. And let's just clobber this thing. Wouldn't it be cool? Let's just get it done. Get it out of here. Well, that's a lot of money, Don. It is. I was born and raised poor. Are you kidding me? That budget is about $25,000 more than Vicky in my first house. Shut up, Jeremy. I know I'm old. Wow. He didn't say nothing. He just like, wow. Like, what do you think, I'm, you know, Jed Clampett or something from Beverly Hills? If you're under 50, don't even worry about it. You don't have to go look up Jed, okay? It's just, forget it. Yeah, but really, I know it's a lot of money. But then again, it's only 66 people, businesses, churches, including internet people, giving $1,000. I'm not telling you to give $1,000. I don't do that. I'm illustrating. So if 66, well, we rounded it up to 67. If they all gave 1,000, if you could do it. If you double that number, I went to a little village high school. What's, somebody help me. What is, 132? So 66? Huh? You must have went to the same school. Charlie, and we never met.
That's amazing.
You went to the same school, man. You're as dumb with math as I am. Shut up. Yeah, you're figuring 66. So the point is, if you just double, there's more than that people in here alone. If you just double it, then it's everybody giving 500. If you double it again, it's everybody giving 250. If you double it again, see, so the point is not just one or two people just paying for everything. You can if you want to. But if everybody just does something, then we'll meet the budget and go over it and stock the devil in the running lights and go on. I don't think that you can pay for the level of anointing that we had in the house tonight. I don't think so. So usher, stand if you will. Wave with an usher if you'd like to get an envelope. We're using Mark Barclay Ministries as the clearinghouse for this. So if you're writing checks, do that. You can go digital if you want to. There's information here on the big screen if you want to do it that way. If you're streaming with us, you can do it that way. You can make a pledge, say, I didn't have it with me, but I'm good for it tomorrow. I'll mail it in next week. I just want to make it easy for you to be part of it. And I don't want you to feel pressured about it. If you feel pressured about the offering or money, it's not me. It might be God poking you in the forehead, but it's not me. So do your very best. Let's kill this thing off. There, even with internet giving, but there's enough of us in this building right now that we could come up here tomorrow night and say the whole thing's paid. So do your best. Dig in the best you can. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I think God helped us have a great start in this conference by what he did in here tonight. It was more than teaching. It was getting on. I could see it get on a lot of you. His anointing. Last days believers. Not goofy people. Spiritual people. Ashamed of nothing that God has given us. Never again allowing anybody to get to us. to blab, to squeal, to snicker, to jeer, to put us down, to mock our God and mock us and tease and make mockery of our church and our preachers, our Bible, speaking in tongues, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody say, never again.
Never again.
No, don't let them get away with it. Don't let them. They don't like to be confronted any more than you. Just get in their face. Don't hurt anybody. No knives, guns, or chains.
It's got to be bold.
This time is very, very short. Are you ready to give? Not yet? No, you're not. Reverend Gatlin's still writing. Don't be sorry. Get to writing. The Gatlins are here. They pastor. The whole family's pastors, but we're glad to have you. Amen. Praise God. Would you help him, please?
I'm almost done.
You're almost done, huh? Huh? He's got a couple more zeros. I love you. Tomorrow night, you two trade places at offering time. Oh, well. We're just happy. Is it okay to have a little fun? Father, number one, we thank you for this conference. This church has done so much, the host church, they have done so much to prepare for this conference. The facilities, the prayer that's gone into this, it is just no wonder you're showing up and it's going to get thicker and thicker as we go through the week. These that give now, Lord, I thank you. It's coming back to their businesses, their ministries, their churches, their personal life. Because that's your promise. Together, we call this budget completely paid for. Completely paid. Every bill paid in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Say amen. All right, ushers, we bring in, they bringing it forward. Yeah, bring it up here. Yeah, you know, there's a few of us in here. And that's okay. Just in a moment, we'll rise, come up, plant your seed, go back to your seat. And get your, keep your faith with me, because the minute we're done, I'm going to call some of these preachers, these young people, so they get the most Holy Ghost they've ever had in any time in their life. Does that sound right? Does that fit you? It fits me. Stand together then. Come on, be a blessing. Give. And let's call this thing. When you put it in there, just say, I call this budget paid in Jesus' name. Come on, you can do that. I call this budget paid in the name of Jesus. Sing something for a minute, Josh.
When Dr. Barker begins to pray for these young people, standing in the gap for your young people, your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, some of them. Because that anointing will get on you to get on them. So we're not finished yet. Just stay connected, and then when we're finished, we'll receive communion together.
One more time, Josh.
You are worthy of
You
are worthy of your Lord. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Now, if you're up to 25 years old and you'd like hands laid upon you, start your way up here. The ushers will help you get in a line. Thank God you're in the house of God. Thank God you're here. That light's come help me. Gavin's come help me. All four of you.
Christian
help. Praise God. Wow. Do we have enough ushers? Can I got more? I can call for some more. Richard, where'd you go? Did he step up? Yeah, come help. Praise God. Come on, Darren. We're just going to lay hands. It don't matter what preacher does it, because it's God who's going to put his anointing on you to be the boldest you have ever been. Look at all the young people in the house of God, by the way. Hey, we are not losing this generation. We are winning this generation. And they are going to help us climax the ages.
Amen.
Jeremy, you guys know to jump in anywhere you want to, so do you, Dad. Anywhere you two want to, you get up here. Anytime we're working and you want to be part of it, just come on up and activate. How many preachers we got? Looking good? Praise God. Come on, Daryl, Kathy. Come on, Pearls. I just keep calling people. Look at these young people. We okay? More preachers? This close? No, we'll lay hands on them, I think. Now listen, all you preachers in the line, let me say this first. There's a lot of preachers here, and I could have called any of them. They're all great. Honestly, they're anointed. But we're limited on space, and of course, we got to have an usher per preacher. So listen to me, ministers. Do not lay hands on anybody until you make eye contact with an usher so they're working with you. Then you can lay hands on anybody you want. Young people, I am so excited to see you in the house of God. You bring us encouragement that you're here and you love God and you want to serve God.
Amen.
And the Lord's going to help you do it. So we're going to lay hands on you tonight.
Wow.
And the anointing of God's going to get on you really strong.
Wow.
And I'm declaring over you, it's going to stay on you.
Wow.
It's not just a little time at church.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's going to stay on you. So in the name of Jesus, now wait a minute, young people. When it's your turn, you don't pray, you don't sing, because a human cannot receive and put out at the same time. So if you're singing and humming and you're praying and you're talking, no, when it comes to you, you just lift your hands and let that power go on you.
We receive this
and let that power go in you. Amen?
I stand in the gap.
All right, go ahead, preachers. Make sure you have an usher. Praise God. We lay hands on you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. For the impartation of God.
For
the blessing of God to be upon you. In the name of Jesus. We are not losing this generation. We are winning them all over the nation, all around the world. Young people are turning to God. They're going to be used by God to do the work of God. In the name of Jesus.
Touch him, Jesus. Never the same.
Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus.
Never the same.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord, for the
Holy Ghost.
Never the same. Never the same.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Anointed by God.
Shom dele babidi badikidi. Ode la sana kodi badidi manakata di badidi. Ene manante dada balasa vedi bekidi. Ode kama shidi kodi basa. Never the same.
Ah, Jesus.
Never the same. Never the same.
My Lord Jesus.
Never the same.
My Lord Jesus.
Never the same. Never the same. Never the same. Ode bata de manakata si badaka de manakata.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Oh my.
To win your generation.
And the Kashida. Never the same, never the same, never the same, never the same. In the mighty name of Jesus, forever change, forever change, forever change, so that we can. And then get the job and not at least the kind of moment. And the Madino, go to the man of the city. And the day seen the Madoma, the father, Palasini, get the Madoma, the Madano. And kind of Rashid, or get the Madoma. And the Madino. And in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, never the same, never the same. They don't shun the lake in many minutes.
Father, I say, I declare over these young people, even those streaming with us or by television tonight, the devil will never have them.
Amen.
The world will never end up with them.
The world will never have them.
They will not be double agents.
They
will serve you with all their heart.
All the day.
You will use them. They will help their friends get delivered.
Amen.
From all kinds of weird stuff.
Amen.
And be found in the house of God.
Amen.
They're going to have great boldness.
Great boldness.
They're going to have weaponry. Our churches and youth leaders are going to give them weapons. They're going to know what to say, in other words, how to answer every man. And they're going to be bold about it. I declare, if you're a pastor in here, put your hands to heaven. I declare over all of the pastors that young people, they're going to be drawn to us like steel to magnets. Our churches are becoming more and more filled all around the world with a younger generation. That doesn't mean you're replacing me. You're not replacing me. You're not replenishment troops. You're part of the body of Christ. And God's going to use you in here, but mostly out there. And I declare that. Pastors, may young people come from anywhere without us cheating and without us having to be half carnal and worldly to think we got to attract them. We're going to have the anointing of God, and they're hungry for it, and they're going to come from everywhere in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Thank you, Master. Well, when I was a young preacher, I'd keep going even after God left. But the more you walk with him, you know, when you realize he's done for tonight, then we should pretty much be done for tonight. Last thing you need is more of me. What we all need is more of him. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Who's closing, Josh? Are you closing? I'll see you in the morning. What time? 10:30. It's going to be great. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, yeah, Thursday morning, night, Friday morning, night. God's going to be here too, right? Make sure you join Daryl each night, Pastor Daryl, Darren, I've only known you for 50 years. You can call me Mike later to get even, okay, instead of Mark. Pastor Darren is going to be here. He was here tonight leading in prayer. This guy here, maybe one of the most in-depth prayer warriors that I have ever met. And he'll be here leading us in prayer. So join him every night, 6:15, all right? All right. You want me to leave?
I don't say this very often, but you can do whatever you want, sir.
Did you record that?
Father, thank you tonight. What you've done here to steal into the hearts of these young people.
Amen.
What a way to start this conference off, just anointing the future of our families, the future of Accelerate Church, the future of America. God, we thank you for showing up in this place tonight. Many more opportunities to just bask in your presence, Father, and we thank you for that, and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor tonight. Don't be dismissed just yet. A couple quick announcements. First of all, if you're with us and you are a licensed or ordained minister, if you wouldn't mind, and we don't know you're here, if we already know you're here, you don't have to do this. But if you just stop by our minister's registration table and talk to one of our people there, we want to make sure that we have you down and that we know when you're going to be here and not. Senior ministers, again, senior ministers, meaning you are not just old. But don't look at me like that, Pastor Gallen. I'll look over here where the young preachers are. Anyways, if you are a senior pastor, a senior preacher, and somebody besides your family knows it, then the church here has provided a little fellowship in the Propel room here in just a few minutes. Don't forget, if you do have blessed cloths throughout the week, go ahead and bring them and put them up in the middle. Doc and the team will pray for them, and you can take them back with you. Don't forget the product tables. This is just night one, very first service. So they say the best is yet to come. So come expecting 10:30 tomorrow, 10:30 on Thursday, 10:30 on Friday. Sometimes the mornings are usually the better, in my opinion. You get a little more umph. So take a health day tomorrow. Tell them you're just either sick of working or you're taking a health day. Take a early lunch and come out and be part of it. Even if you can only be here for a little bit, stop by and be here for a little bit and soak in that anointing. 6:15 tomorrow night or throughout the rest of the week here, we're going to have some anointed prayer with Pastor Daryl / Darren, whatever one he comes to be. But it is awesome. It started off awesome. It's only going to get better. And then 7 p.m. service to worship with us right here. Amen. We love you. Thank you, all of you partners that are partnered with us. We appreciate you being here, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. Amen.
All right, then. All right, then. It's always a beautiful, or wonderful, or majestic, whatever you want to call it, night when we are able to be a part of the Holy Spirit conferences. If you live in Texas, get on out there. You'll be glad that you went on down. And, of course, those of you that live in Michigan, on November 29th, the leadership conference starts in Midland, and it's worth every minute, every penny you spend to get there, because he's going to talk to you as a leader. You're not going to get any of the wishy-washy stuff, any of the mamby-pamby stuff. I don't know what that word means, but must be a good one, because I hear pastors say it all the time. So let's receive our communion elements together tonight. Wherever you may be, you might have just stumbled onto this and said, wow, what's going on here? Well, what's going on here is a conference, and we get involved and are a part of it. You know, Dr. Barclay has been my pastor now for almost 30 years, and I've never seen him do anything except grow and develop and become more anointed. And just like tonight, what a beautiful sight to see all those children and young people lined up. If that's what is in this man's church, he is ready to have one severely powerful, Holy Ghost-filled, world-changing church, because he's got so many families. He's got children that can go into this world and reach others. That's an awesome thing. Well, here we go. Let's receive our communion elements, get you some grape juice and bread, and join with us. We receive communion here every time we come here. In the evening like this, we're here Monday through Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And when we get finished, Brother Dan and Sister Gwen have shared a very important vote. Matter of fact, I need to say that right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This has to do with Michigan. Oh, it's in my email. And so I want you to see this, and then those of you in Michigan, take part. Now, let me just click this.
Hey.
Go ahead.
I think it has to do with the whole United States.
Oh, this is the whole United States.
I think so, the CDC.
All right, I didn't have a chance to read it yet.
That's okay.
All right, I got my screen shared. Almost. Now you can see it. This is Intercessors for America. Take action. Vote happening as early as Thursday. Act now. On Thursday, it is anticipated that the CDC will vote on whether to add the COVID-19 shot to the recommended schedule of child immunizations. This would mean that schools across the nation would require that children have to have this shot as part of their entrance health requirement. Your voice is needed. Please send a message to the CDC board members today who will potentially be making this decision that will affect our nation's children and families. Click below to send your message. Now, David Kubal, president of the and CEO of Intercessors for America. So what you would do is click that button there, send your message. I'll just walk through this. This is IFA. Allow. I already get your messages. On Thursday, it's anticipated the CDC will vote. All right. We just read this. Here is the message you can send or personalize it. I am not in favor of adding the COVID shot to the list of childhood immunization needed. There's a lot of concern about the effects of the shot on children. And the more we know about it, the more concerns arise. Please do not include this shot into the schedule of childhood immunizations. I am praying for you as you make this decision that will affect millions and millions of families in our nation. And you can go right over here on the right-hand side, click in here and put your own subject in there. And then you can see they've already got it written in there. If that's what you want to say, you can click down in there at the end of it and add some more text. That's a good thing. Leave your information and then click send the message. And that gets it out. Now, the other thing that you and I have to do is this. Who do these people think they are that are not elected officials making a decision that completely physically alters our children? We arrest you in your wicked violation of our Constitution of the United States of America. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that you will be seen for who you are, people who don't belong in these positions making these decisions for our families and our children. And you will no longer be able to do that. And in the mighty name of Jesus, the CDC will become what it is, not the governing arm of the, but they will just be the, what they're supposed to be. Medical doctors that give us understanding that is true. Father, every doctor that is lying, remove his license. Every scientist that is lying, remove his credentials. Everyone is not telling the truth. We're not being mean to nobody. You're lying, and you know you are. So may your credentials be removed from you, and nobody listen to a word you say ever again. The Word of God says God will bless those who bless us and curse those who curse us. I didn't say it. I don't want you cursed. God Almighty said it. And if you don't want him cursing you, and I can guarantee you don't. If you don't want him cursing you, then you should probably turn from your wicked ways and no longer function like you're doing right now and making this kind of a vote. You know that this is not good for our children, and therefore you also know that you must turn from your wicked ways, because we set you on notice. We have the restraining order according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, come on. Everybody get in your rightful spot here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We have the restraining order. We are the force on this earth, and you must bow your knee to the will of men and women of God all over this nation and of our parents, saying, you don't get to do that to my children. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Brother Dan, you got a prayer? Anything you want to add to it? I always pause for a moment. Go ahead.
Sorry, it was locked up on me.
Sure.
No, you did fine. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You and I got to be all done with these people thinking they can keep getting away with this. These are not elected officials. You and I did not vote for these people. And they're trying to govern us. And that's a violation of our Constitution. And the greatest place to be bold is standing right here in the throne room of God in prayer when we go before the throne room and make our declaration. Father, remove their credentials from them so that nobody will believe them anymore. The ones who know they're lying and the pharmaceutical companies that know they're lying and pushing it, remove financial backing and may they crumble and crush and fall. May the news media that stands them up lose their financial standing. You are liars. You know you're liars. And we call the judgment of God to come upon you now in the mighty name of Jesus. All you got to do is turn. All you got to do is just turn. Get away from them. Get away. Run away and tell the truth. Expose them. And God will bless you. I'm not speaking to any, none of them are here. I speak it into the realm of the Spirit. So that in the realm of the Spirit, it's done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody said. And now we're receiving communion, Pastor? Oh, yeah. And now let's receive communion together in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to start with verse 14 again. I'm going to read this a few more times. And then I'm just going to interchange them back and forth. But I really was spoken to by God the other day by this verse, verse 14. When the hour had come, Jesus sat down with the 12 disciples with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. One of the greatest sacraments there is for you and I to be a part of is this one. The broken body and the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot partake of the kingdom. What you and I, what he gave us on that night was the fruit of the vine and then the broken body of Christ, a piece of bread, teaching us that you cannot exist without the vine and that Jesus is the bread of life. And it's right here in his holy word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we desire, we earnestly desire to receive this with you this evening. And thank you, Jesus, that you're longing for us to partake of this as often as we do. In Jesus' name. Verse 17. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup again, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 11, verse 26. He said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected in us, among us, in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. You heard Pastor talk about it tonight when the lady said, I heard you speak in tongues. And he was bold in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is on the throne right now, so are we in this world. There's no difference. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, let's pray the prayer of salvation together. Those of you that's with me on Zoom, I would be glad to have you pray the prayer out loud with us. So those who would be online with us will be able to follow along with us. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now make your statement bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And I receive you into my life right now.
And I receive you into my life right now.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
I receive your love and your mercy.
I receive your love and your
all of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life
with all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. We are glad to have you here with us. You might be saying, wow, Pastor, I thought I was already born again, but something's going on the inside. No, it's just the reality that most people have never made these kind of statements of Jesus, come and fill me. I received your grace, your mercy, your love, your righteousness, your Holy Spirit. They've never made those kind of statements. And so you've never felt that entirety of God filling your being, because that's what's going on right now. And your life will never be the same because of it. Your life will never be the same. This is the first day of the greatest day of your life. And from this day forward, you're going to walk with God every day of your life. You know, I say this every single night, and I say it every time I do communion. The bottom line is, you didn't receive a church. You didn't receive a religion. You didn't receive a doctrine, a denomination. You just had God Almighty move inside because you welcomed him. And you're now in the same state as Adam and Eve were in the garden, in perfect communion with the Father. And that's how Father wants it. Hebrews chapter 4 says, come boldly to the throne room of grace. And that's how he wants you to be every day. How do I walk with God, Pastor? Every day when you wake up in the morning, before you roll out of that bed, look up into the sky, look down in your heart, and say, Father, help me walk with you today. And then all day long, walk and talk to God as if he's with you, because he is. He just made his abode inside of you. Get you a Bible. Can't get one? Make sure you contact us. We'll help you get one. Get you a Bible. Begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell for our program so that you can be connected with us. We've got a great program called Read the Word, where we're just reading through the Word from Genesis to Revelation chronologically this year. And you'll grow immensely just by being there and reading the Word with us every single day. The majority of the kingdom of God, we're going to teach you on a daily basis as you're with us. Now, we've got foundation doctrines and we've got foundation videos that we'd like to send you and help you know, how to walk with God from the foundation. But it doesn't matter at what point you enter into the kingdom. God meets you there. He puts himself inside of you. And from that day, leads you from the inside out. And now you're part of the kingdom. Get you some grape juice and bread and water. And we'll receive this together. When I was doing prison ministry in northern Michigan, up by the Sioux, Kinross, we had grape Faygo and Cheez-Its. That was the closest thing we could get to communion juice and wafers. And we took that communion right there in the family meeting room, right where everybody was every single time I went there. And the presence and power of God met with us. And he's going to meet with us tonight. You ready? Let's bless our elements together. All my Zoomers, make sure you click your mic and say it with us. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
I receive the broken body of Jesus.
I receive the broken body.
And enter in to take my place in God.
And enter in to take my place in God.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body together tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you called it all joy. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission. And there's no more condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. The accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. We haven't sang this one in quite a while. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Now, I want to say something to everybody that's here. I'll put that link in here right now while we're working on our end verses and everything. If you were not able to hear this morning's Read the Word, I encourage Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness program. I encourage you, please, to go and make sure you hear it. It's on YouTube, called RWR, and then today's date. Because it's about dreams. And then God spoke to us specifically about fasting. And I know that when you come into the holiday seasons, people don't like to talk about fasting because you have so many feasts to go to. And it's okay, because that's right. If you've lived a good life, you had a good year, have a feast. That's what the pilgrims did on Thanksgiving for the feast. But I can tell God is calling some of us up to another place in Him. I'm not telling you what to fast. I'm not telling you how long to fast. I am encouraging you that there's others of us who are fasting. And if that's in your heart and you've been thinking that's something I got to do, well, then you can join with us. And I like Dr. Barclay's statement. If you give up a biscuit for God, He will honor you. So it's not that one is bigger. That's a comparison thing. That's a legalist, and we're not into that. You have to follow God's leadership in your heart and do what He says, because when you stand on the other side, you're going to give an account of it. And if He's leading you to fast about the abortion, about the election, or maybe you got a situation in your family, fast and follow exactly what He tells you to do. Even if He tells you to do a 40-day fast, I want to encourage you. Sister Leanne and I did a 40-day fast at the beginning of the year. You can do it and survive and be healthy. And God Almighty will be with you. And it's amazing how healthy your body actually begins to feel as you're fasting like that. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm just encouraging you. I've done them. So it's possible. And if you need some instruction, we'll be glad to be here with you all the way through it. And whatever you're believing for and you're standing in faith for, let us know. Not publicly. Send it to me privately in an email or message so that we can get our faith with yours of what's going on in your life. And we can see mountains move and things change in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Make sure you're part of the Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness morning prayer program, because Brother Dutch is teaching on dreams from his book on dreams. I don't remember the name of it. But I encourage you to begin to study these dreams, because I heard Lou Engle say, powerful man of God say, I heard him say, why would we give up a third of our life to sleeping and not expect God to speak to us? And he said, especially Acts chapter 2 says that your young men will dream dreams and your old men will see visions. Now, it's not just there to take up your mind at night while you sleep. Listen to this verse. This isn't the closing verse. Sister Phyllis will read that in a minute. But I'm going to say this every night. Job 33, 14, 15, and 16. God may speak in one manner or another, and yet man may not perceive it. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, then he, God, opens the ears of man and seals the instruction for their life from what God spoke and you didn't perceive. So while you sleep, you have the ability for God to talk to you and instruct you. I encourage you to begin to write down your dreams when you wake up. Now, not every one of them are going to have a spiritual impact on you. You're going to look at some and say, well, don't know what that was. I had one. Sister Leanne and I did tomatoes, made them green tomato salsa, and then worked on, we got some apples and different things, and I had a dream that night about my sister, Becky, and I. We're closing down a campground, a church camp, and there was vegetables left over, and we were wondering what to do with them. All right. Now, there was no spiritual impact on that, except in the morning, my sister needed some computer questions answered, so I was able to give them to her. It was pretty interesting, but it had no spiritual impact. But what am I saying to you to do? God wants to speak to you and I 24/7. And I want you to begin to say this. This is Job 33, 14, 15, and 16. I want you to begin to say, Father, speak to me while I sleep and help me see what's going on around me in a clear manner, in Jesus' name. Sister Phyllis, our closing verses.
All right, dear. Let's see. Jude 20-25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And if I may, I'd like to read Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. And we get to reign with him in Jesus' mighty name. Well, YouTube, I have seemed to have lost you somewhere, but we love you and we bless you. I found you. Lift your hands and say it with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
We reap the harvest of every soul that heard us tonight.
We reap the harvest of every soul that heard us tonight.
In the name of Jesus, they have an understanding of what was spoken.
In the name of Jesus, they have an understanding of everything that was spoken.
So that that seed can grow in their heart.
So that that seed can grow in their heart.
And they be established in you.
And they be established in you.
We receive our hundredfold return.
We receive our hundredfold return.
And sow it into the kingdom.
And sow it into the kingdom.
So we can preach the gospel all over this world.
So we can preach the gospel all over this world.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Now,
amen.
Let me find my deal again here. And I will get this posted in YouTube. Make sure you are, I posted that link. We'll post this on our Facebook page. I'll post it on my personal Facebook page so that you can be very active in getting, writing to these people and saying, hey, you don't be making this stupid book because we don't believe in that. And pray. Every time you think of it, just speak it. May everybody that's lying about this COVID shot lose their credentials. I mean, Governor DeSantis in Florida confronted that CDC guy straight to his face publicly and said, you're lying and you know you are. And it will not be in the state of Florida. And nobody did anything. And so, in the mighty name of Jesus, we command these liars to be stopped and turn them from their wicked ways, Jesus. Help them run into church, find you, and become as powerful on the side of truth as they were on the side of a lie. We speak it done in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all we got. Once again, we'll see you tomorrow in the morning for Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, our morning prayer program. And, of course, that is powerful prayer time. When we make our confession, we pray, Brother Dutch, we read the proverb, we pray for you, we pray for other people. And it's the fastest hour and a half you've ever had, but it's very, very powerful. And remember, God said from Michigan, the upper state is coming in uppercut that's going to deal a fatal blow to a major agenda of perversion and wickedness. Thank you, Jesus. We got a lot to do, don't we? You guys come say hi. Hurry up.
Hi,
hello,
everybody.
You're so beautiful. It's good to see you tonight.
We hear your voice all the time, too. I'm always on in the background someplace most of the time.
I was on YouTube tonight earlier.
Oh, was you?
Yeah.
I tried to go on there for a minute, but I didn't. I must have missed you coming in and out of the door.
All right. Until we see you again, this is what we say.
We love you.
We love you.
And
God loves you.
And
Jesus is Lord.
God bless you.
God bless you.